I've gotten some interesting emails since, and some of them you guys got, some of you got also, but the one that was fascinating is from a woman that is a, she thinks she's a believer, and she's fairly well off. They do their skiing vacations and all that. Did you get one?
So what I think you're talking about.
Yeah.
Feeling guilty about not taking the homeless.
And she read the New Yorker article and what I said about hopes and dreams and that kind of stuff. Anyway, and it's interesting in that, you know, I've never said or even intimated that what I see as our office or our function in the universal body of Christ is anything special. It's just what we have. It's just what we are. So this woman is, she feels guilty because she doesn't think that she can take in the homeless or give up what. And it struck me that it's extremely important for, and we've touched on this before, but it's extremely important that we have to just see and be truthful to what we see. I mean, the only thing that I'm get upset about is when there's fraud. I don't care if somebody's a billionaire and a Christian or has 43 homes everywhere, as long as they're not getting the money from the poor by lying. And that's, I mean, I can give you chapter and verse, and if you're interested, look on our website and see why we investigate and why we go undercover, and examples in the Bible of how that's done and why that's done. But there are words in the Bible that indicate that for many, not for all, it'll be an incredible process. And let's just look at some of these. In John chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In verse 19 it says, "When they deliver you up, take no thought of what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now, does that mean that everybody that names the name of Christ is going to be hated of all men? I don't think so. Does it mean that you're supposed to purposely go out or do what we do? I don't care what it is. What it is that we do. We don't have a right to judge what anybody else does. And it's imperative that we say that, so that there is never a feeling that there's anything special about us. And that email from that woman really troubled me because, it's like, you know, if the yoke is easy, you carry it, or with whatever is, if your burden is easy, you carry it with grace and thankfulness. If it's hard, you carry it with him. I mean, you don't. We haven't chosen to be what we are. It's for some mysterious reason the only thing that satisfied, I guess, first me, and then others were attracted to it. But
we're the lucky ones.
But it's critical that you see this, because I sense from these emails that people feel guilty that they're not doing what we're doing, and I don't want that to happen. But I certainly don't want any of us to feel in any way superior because we do what we do. I mean, it's just goofy.
The only thing I
I tell people, exhort people to do outside of Trinity is be part of a community.
Yeah.
Without community, nothing else can happen.
Yeah.
So, beyond that, I think, obviously, there's nothing else.
Well, it made me real sad because that woman was, she said, I just can't do what you do.
It bothered me, too.
And the whole idea, but then there seems to be a contradiction. Well, then why would we do what we do with regard to the people that commit what I think is fraud? And the only way I can answer that is, first of all, I can show you many examples in the Bible, but that's not the point. The point is that was what came before us. That's what was set before us to do. And no one else would do anything about it. And I certainly get no pleasure out of it. Does anybody else have any thoughts on this? I mean, it's important that this be spoken about if you have any feelings.
I feel, from my little corner of the world, I feel that the truth is exactly the opposite of what this lady is thinking. She's thinking that we're doing something wonderful and giving up and all this kind of stuff, and she's guilty because she can't do that. And to me, it's exactly the opposite. I think I'm sitting on the absolute greatest job in the whole world, and I don't want anybody to find out and take it away from me. I'm not giving up anything. It's like I'm king of the world or something. It's exactly the opposite. I haven't given up anything.
Anybody else? John? I know you've got thoughts about this.
I want to.
Well, you don't want to share them?
I just have thoughts.
Huh?
I said I don't have answers or anything. I just have
thoughts. But that's what you're supposed to share.
You have to expect that sort of response when people are so much into thinking that they can do something good to be good. And that's the majority of people that are going to read.
What are your thoughts, John?
Well, one thing I think of is to whom much is given, much is expected. And, we've been given a lot. And by appearances, when we walk up and down the block, people would say that's not true, but we're given more than they are, the world has. Yeah. So much more is expected of us. We're put in a position constantly, because of the constant media attention, the press, who really exploits us to some extent, because we sell newspapers, we sell magazines, we sell time on their television stations. We have to be constantly aware of that, and we have to do no more than what is put in front of us. And one thing that gives me comfort in the whole scenario is your comments that I've heard you say before. You know, it can all go away, and we're still a community, and we're still believers, and that's the primary reason of our being here. It isn't about affordable housing. It isn't about televangelists. It's about morning Bible study. And as soon as we lose sight of that, we have a big, big problem.
Well, it's an interesting place, both spiritually and intellectually, to see how and what, you know, how we live and what it is that we do. There's no, I can sit and show you examples of the scriptures where people investigated and used deception to save Israel and all that. But the whole idea of speaking this idea that every thought, every dream, every hope that you have outside of the resurrection will end up in corruption. Nobody wants to hear that. But does that mean that people who have dreams and have ambitions and have these great, wonderful ideas that they're going to hell? Of course not. But just as the body is many cells and everything is different in the body, I mean, you can't, the famous thing, you can't
Shall the eye say to the ear, I have no need of thee? Or shall the foot say to the mouth, I have no need of thee? Or the whole nine yards. There are different expressions of him throughout all of time and space. And all of those different expressions of him constitute his body. And we don't have a right. The only thing that I know that I know that I know is that fraud cannot be tolerated. Now, if anybody else can show me that fraud can be tolerated, we'll stop doing with that what we do and instantly.
What you were saying a minute ago reminded me of this email we got yesterday from this fellow that does, you know, he's bothered by the fact that he can't, from what he read, he can't have any hopes and dreams. And I saw that in the context of, we have a body of believers here in a community, and this guy's out there pretty much alone. And to destroy that for somebody that's just trying to get by.
I mean, the point of it is, yeah. Is you can't do anything about whether you have hopes and dreams, except see that they're dust. I mean, the only way that most people can see that they're dust is they got to go try and get them. And then most people live in the if-onlys. Well, if only I had done this, or if only that hadn't happened to me, or if only. Again, from our perspective, every one of those if-onlys, every one of those slight resentments about your past is sin. But it's clear in the Scriptures, what is sin to one is not sin to another. And that's the danger of this that I've talked about for many years, of being publicly identified with what we're about, because you're going to have to speak to it when somebody challenges you. The greatest test, the different levels of test, the first test is common to all men. And it's like, if you think of there's huge hunks of rock all over, and everybody's trying to be a shiny little rock. And that's common to all men. And then something happens, and the rock falls off the pile, and it's out there alone. And then it becomes a believer. And then there's another whole other series of tests. The most pristine test comes when you become part of a community where you live together. There is the real test, and because everything is challenged. Everything is... And then the final test, and I think it's the acid on the gold, if you will, is when you're publicly identified with it. And that process is... when this experience first happened to me in January of 72, everybody I knew thought I was crazy. Everybody, without exception, including my mother, my sister, my family, all my friends. Because I walked away from everything I was doing. I didn't clean it up and walk away. I just walked away. Now, is that right or wrong? I don't know. It's what happened. Now, many of those people are fascinated because they thought this was just another little trip that Ole was going on. Now, it's 30-some years later. But...
Yeah, but you and we are not saying to people, do that.
No, of course not.
Walk away. We're not saying you can't have hopes and dreams. What we're saying is, no... that if your hopes and dreams, if your life is based on anything other than the resurrection of Christ, it will crumble. There will be an earthquake. Your house will fall down. Just know that.
Now, Paul said clearly that most will remain in the calling wherein they're called. Now, that didn't happen for John Bojo. It didn't happen for Harry. It didn't happen for Pete. It didn't happen for me. It didn't happen for Ronnie. Didn't happen for Joyceanna. For the most part, Wade remained in the calling wherein he was called. I mean, we can look here and see that Bloom isn't going to take no vow of poverty. There's nothing magical or super spiritual about above poverty. There's nothing, it's meaningless, except to us, to me. But it's got to get in your head deep so that it is a foundational place, that there is no righteousness in what we are doing. Now, everybody that named the name of Christ wasn't hated of all men, wasn't killed and think they're doing God holy service. But we know that some will be. I know that for me and for people here, I tell them that. I tell them that you will lose everything you once held dear. I tell you that you will, you know, that you will be hated of all men. If you reveal yourself because you're a threat to everything, what's going on?
I just saw Carolyn stop the car quickly, and I thought there was something happening.
Oh. Anybody else?
I just think of the aspect of the 30 years as a witness. You know, something that you might have wanted to say 30 years ago, like you in particular, you might want to say it. Now you can say it, but there's
a witness.
Incredible witness to it.
Yeah. No, I remember the first time I said that somebody was the Antichrist. It was on the radio. It was in 1976. I didn't say that to anybody until 1976. Oh, crap. That wasn't very nice. I remember the first time I told this group, when it was, you know, that little, that God didn't love them. Oh, but God loves the world. No, it says he hated the world. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Oh, but I mean, I can remember all of these massive milestones in the last 32 years. They were massive, especially for Gary. Well, many for John too. But now things that we take for granted are like, you know, whether it was IEDs or those explosions, homemade explosions that happen all the time in Iraq, improvised explosion devices or in whatever it is that are killing all the people that are like a suicide bomb going into a community. When you tell somebody that has grown up on the mistaken belief that God loves them and that the gospel is good news to the human race, and then somebody tells you the opposite, that's got to hurt a little bit.
Or we should pray for Bin Laden.
Or that we should pray for Bin Laden, or pray for Al-Zarqawi, or whatever his name is. And that there's no difference from our standpoint whether who's in government. We pray for whoever it is. Anyway, I don't know why I'm rambling, because I got disturbed by all these emails. Well, I'm not disturbed. That's not. I was saddened because people read that New Yorker article and thought that they weren't doing enough. That's not. And I just want each one of you to know that we don't. That's not what we're about.
That is, however, the Mike Iaconelli reaction.
Oh.
That's exactly what he said.
What did he say?
You have the innate ability to make even inanimate objects feel guilty. But that's to be expected. I mean, when I was a kid, I'd be around, you know, a nun, and I'd feel guilty. Anybody that you think is living the way they should live is going to make you feel guilty, because you know you're not. That's just normal.
And by treating it.
You pass by a rock and you feel guilty.
But we can't ever be the, you know, become the ones that love the chief seats speaking metaphorically. Yeah. You can't think that you have a collar and a robe and special seat in the synagogue.
Well, I think I should be able to wear one of those little dresses like the Episcopals wear. Huh? No, you'd make fun of me. Well, you'd make fun of me anyway. Huh? No, I might. Look up my dress.
I'll get you a cassock for Christmas.
A what?
Cassock.
I thought you said a casket.
That's on order. We're going to get you a kiss casket.
We can get you a little collar like maybe.
You and dime bag.
All right, that's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. I wasn't really a Bible study, but it was. I think it's important that you know what I feel about these things, and it's important that I know what you feel.
What I think is surprising to people is how ineffective we are.
We're totally.
Over and over.
You know, I remember when we think about the investigations, thinking, well, if you really want to, you know, there's a goal here, mm-hmm. and we have to make progress, and here's the plan of action.
There ain't no problem.
There ain't no plan either.
I think in the interview this week when Bob talked about it, progress doesn't matter. Whether we're effective or not doesn't matter. We're just doing what's there to be done. I think that's where people hear that there's something to do, that they should pattern their lives after what they read in the New Yorker or what they hear somebody else talk about. That's something that's another point of frustration they're going to have to work through to see that even that in itself is emptiness.
Yeah. All righty.
That just reminded me of something. The idea that, you know, when you sit, if I'm sitting in Iowa reading that article and I feel guilty, well, I put the article down and walk out the front door. There's going to be someone who's going to need me. I was sitting watching TV the other night. There's a knock on the door and I thought, son of a bitch, can't even watch TV. Damn it, and get up and open the door, and it is a community service guy who wants to get signed out, who had just finished doing the dishes for me. And what I was irritated about was I was watching a movie, one of these holiday movies about giving to the poor, and I was being moved emotionally by this. You should have the spirit of giving in the holidays and all this. You son of a bitch. And this guy has just done the dishes for me. Those are the kinds of things that God does those kinds of things that you'll see.
All righty. Take a big guy.